us a fun ride?
Thanks,
you'll see.
What happened
here? I appreciate that.
What did you say now, Shelly?
We're eliminating truants.
Oh, yeah. What did you have to say?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam. Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin, Chapter 2, Law 17.
Sounds true.
Hamaskir Bayis Stam. If a person rents a house from somebody without us knowing if the owner of the house checked it for Chametz or not. You're moving in, you're renting, you don't know what's going on. Nothing was said. And when are you moving in, bar bus, or on the night of the 14th? A great time to move.
Good time.
And the owner isn't before us, so we can't ask him and ask him, is the house been cleaned out for chametz or not? So what do we do? Does the guy on the 14th have to start cleaning up or not? The answer is Areza Becheskas Badak. We have the assumption that it was already checked. Vein Tzorach Livdok, and the new person moving in does not have to check it up. This is a Shaila in the Gemara that is not decided on, and since we said that Bedikas Chametz is only to Rabbanan, so therefore we are lenient, and after all, you can be Mevatel the Chametz as well, so Suffolk to Rabbanan, we're lenient, you don't have to check the house. However, what if we know for sure that the owner did not check it out, and the new guy moves in? V'amru isho katan, but a woman or a young child said to the man when he moved in other words, when the owner was there, it wasn't checked. And now the guy's moving in. And before he moved in, a lady or cotton said the following, Anu bedaknu, we checked it after the guy left, and we cleaned it out. Now normally, a woman and a cotton is not believed in a court of law. But here, hare elu ne'manim, here they are believed to testify that it was checked, then they checked it out. Why? Shakol ne'monim al bir chametz, because everybody is considered trustworthy on this mitzvah of burning chametz. Va'kol k'sherin l'bika, and everybody is kosher person to do the bidika. Va'filu nashim v'vadim l'ktanim, from women, Canaanite slaves, and young minors are all believed in this case. For who, however, she a katan, she a badas. The young child has to have enough intelligence, livdok, to be able to make a reasonable checking. He reaches the age of chinuch, whatever that is, 6 or 7 years old, but it's a responsible child. You can assume they know what they're doing. But even though in terms of testifying in a court of law, these people are not accepted as witnesses, here again, we're lenient with bidikas chametz to accept this.
We're talking about a religious Jewish family subletting a house, not a goy or not a secular family, I assume.
It doesn't really matter.
Well, if it's a goy, you know he didn't check it.
But if somebody testified that they cleaned it out.
No, but I'm just saying, if you don't know the first case.
Why would a goy clean it out?
Yeah, right? I'm saying, so if you got the house on the 14th and you rented from a goy, you'd have to search, right?
Well, you'd assume Howard. You wouldn't assume anything else.
But let's look a little more in Yud Ches. There's a few more qualifications we have to discuss as well. Hamaskir Bayis Lachaver, if a person rents his house to his friend. Now, the question is, the timing is critical. If you had not yet given him the keys, and therefore it's still under the auspices of the owner, and then the renter comes in after the night of the 14th, like a couple hours later, then alamaskir livtok, then it's on the owner's responsibility to check it out, because since the renter didn't have the keys, he wasn't able to go to do the bedikas chametz right away, but the owner could. So the onus is on the owner. But what if you gave him the keys before the 14th night came? Then alasorcha livtok, then it's for the renter to check it out. But the commentaries add, only if he made a proper kinyan of being able to rent it. If he didn't make a proper kinyan, he just has the keys, still he's not chayav to check, because he doesn't have the kinyan that it's really under his responsibility. Next, Hamaskir Bayis Becheskas Badak. What a guy rents the house. The guy says, listen, I'm moving in a day before the 14th, or moving in on the 14th. I want to know something. Are you cleaning it out before? Is it going to be checked out for chametz or not? Because it's very important to me. Because I don't have time to check it. Guys, I promise you it's checked. I'm selling you with the understanding that it's checked. Okay? The cheskeshu baduk. The assumption was checked. He moves in and of course, the nimcha shena baduk. It was not checked. Now, who's gonna check it now? Well, alasocha livdok. It's the responsibility of the renter to check it. Because he is the one that now lives in it. you're going to tie in it's a mekachtos, it was an erroneous sale. No, ve'eno mekachtos, it's not called an erroneous sale. The commentaries explain why, because a person really deep down prefers to do the mitzvah himself. Remember, Jews really do prefer to do mitzvahs. And whoever does the bedikah is the one getting credited with the mitzvah. And even if normally you'd hire somebody and pay someone to do the checking, so the guy really was doing something that's worth a monetary amount, and maybe the owner should pay the renter the wage to clean it. No, we don't say that. Sherry mitzvah also, because he's doing the mitzvah, and a person would rather, you know, and let's say he had, or let's say even he had to pay a cleaning crew to clean it out. He wouldn't have time to. So a person prefers to the mitzvah with his money to be able to do it. The guy's complaining and saying, oh, it's a mekartosis, this and that. That's not that he wants to change the deal. But you know how all Jews are. They want to save a buck over here. But really every Jew likes to do the will of Hashem. He's willing to spend money on it. And tough luck. You gotta check it and pay for it. All right.
But if the owner, the original owner, said that they were going to do it. Now, isn't the if there's any chumetz left, isn't it the responsibility of the owner, the original owner, still because he said he was going to do it?
Listen, there's a chazokah, but it wasn't written in the contract. Yeah. I don't know. It's in the contract. It could be different. But even then, the svar is saying a person is happy to do the mitzvah.
Well, let me ask, it's similar to, I understand that, but it's similar to me, it's similar, and I may be wrong, to a butcher saying, I'm selling you kosher meat, it's checked, it's kosher, and it's not. So
well,
you're doing
different.
The mitzvah
that's,
buying
no, that's
kosher.
For sure, a mekaf toast, I can't use it. I can't use it.
You can use the fire.
I understand, but
you can't do anything later with the teif meat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That is clearly a mekaf toast, there's nothing you can do with that. But here, you know, so I get another mitzvah. You can't call that a mecca. Of course, you get to do a mitzvah.
Yeah, what about all the chumetz you don't see?
You make a beetle. You nullify it.
Okay.
Do you like normal? Remember, they weren't renting 4,000 square foot homes.
Right. That's the fact they went through.
They were renting like a one bedroom apartment. So
it didn't take much to go through it, I guess.
Okay, Yitess, this is a famous Shaila. I'm a farish by Yom. A person is taking an overseas trip. A Yitzhi Basher and going in a caravan. You're leaving many, many days before Pesach. So do you have to do Bedikas Chametz? So the answer is, if it's Toch Shloshim Yom, if he is living within the 30-day period before Pesach, Zokov leave Dokis required to do Bedikas Chametz, because the rabbis say we start asking about and learning the halachas of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. Purim is that day, obviously.
Right.
And for that time, already becomes the obligation to do Bedikas Chametz. So if it's 3 weeks before Pesach, you're obliged to do Bedikas Chametz. You can't leave it without Chametz, even if you're not planning on coming back.
So
you've got to do Bedikas Chametz.
Escape to the Pesach hotel doesn't help.
Well, that's right. However, well, it does to a certain extent.
No, but you still have to do this part.
Well, we'll see.
Oh,
we'll have to discuss it later. But if it's Kodim Shoshim, but if you leave more than 30 days before, there was no obligation at all to check anything. Say, and it's hard to leave. You don't have to check anything because there's no plan on going back. Of course, you still have to nullify any chametz that you have to do a beetle, and you may have to sell someone because you still own it. But in terms of the concern that you'll find some chametz, that you don't have to worry about. What the guy's leaving well in advance, maybe even more than 30 days, but he's planning on coming back before Pesach, and all the more so if he's planning to come back on Pesach, he would have to check before he leaves, because, you know, it's not going to be a good idea. He comes right before Pesach, and the house isn't checked around Pesach. So therefore, even before 30 days, you'd have to check. So you have to check and then leave. Why? Even though you plan on going back 3 days before Pesach, but you know what happens when they're traveling by boat and the trade winds, the winds don't blow, and you come in mamish erev Pesach, bena shmushes, mamish minutes before Pesach, you can't burn the chametz at that point. So that's a big problem. But if it's before 30 days, we may die to lachs, but if you don't plan on coming back at all, you don't have to check at all. But you just do a beetle in your heart at the time, wherever you are. Okay. Now, before we look at the next little, the end of the halacha, we just have to speak out one little thing over here. It's been ready a long time, Howard. Just giving you interest.
Howard's ready for it.
Okay, anyway, now, what about chametz? Now, we have to get a little introduction to understand the next few lines over here. Chametz that is buried under more than three tvachim of other objects is considered to be removed from your property. You don't have to uncover it. You don't have to destroy before pay. So let's say something under the fridge, heavy fridge, something like that.
12 inches. 12, right? 3 inches, 12 inches.
Right? So then you don't have to, because you're not going to get to it. Right? And therefore, let's say you make your one of your rooms a storage room. And you're covering up with chametz with much, much more other material, and you're never going to get to that chametz. So in theory, that would free you from having to make a bedika on the stuff over there, because, you know, you're storing whatever, wine, whatever, kegs and kegs and kegs of wine.
Beer.
Well, beer is chametz.
Beer is chametz, so this is not helping.
No, but I'm saying the stuff underneath. The stuff underneath.
Is that we cover it up by
you're storing wheat.
Stuff.
You're storing, you know, non-chametz stuff, whatever, lots of it.
Potatoes.
Tons and tons of stuff over there. Oh, wow. So whatever's underneath, you know, you ain't going to get to that, so you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. So that's the general rule. So now let's apply it. So if that's what you have, then you're now this applies only, which, you know, accidentally becomes covered by other substances. We don't let you lechatchila do this if it happens to be covered. So let's say you had a piece of bread rolled under the fridge that can't be moved easily, the old fashioned fridge that don't have wheels, and you're going to break your, get a hernia trying to move it. So you don't have to move it. But that's, you know, unintentionally. So now what about intentional? But kena also base also. What if you make your house into a storage house? You make part of it storage, whatever, for grain and fruits and things like that. And so now what if it's toch shol? So if it's within 30 days of Pesach, yeah, okay, then before you make a storage room, sokugliva, you gotta check what's there before you're gonna dump stuff on top of that. You can't lechatchila leave stuff there. You have to clean it all out before you're gonna put the non-chametz stuff to store. Then you put the storage stuff in there. Now, what if it's kodem shloshim yom? What if you're storing stuff before 30 days? There's no at all responsibility to get rid of chametz yet. So it depends. Im datu lefnoso kodem Pesach. If you plan on removing all the storage stuff there before Pesach, so then it could end up being very close to Pesach. And tzarech livdok v'yachar say, oh, so you got to check it out and then make a search. It's just like the guy leaving to go away and he plans to come back before Pesach. The main datu lefnoso kodem Pesach. If you don't plan on cleaning it out before Pesach, you're going to leave the fruits there for months. Then in a tzarech livdok, you don't have to check it out at all, because the chametz underneath, that's already like accidental, because it's before the time you have to worry about Pesach. All right, we move on to the third chapter. Yeah, you have to make a kol chamiro wherever you're at, for whatever chametz you may have. Now, I forgot. So halakha lamaisa. So what happens? People go to the Pesach hotel. So you're leaving 2 days, but you're not going to be there for Pesach. So it says you have to do a bedika. So the way out, as they say, is you allocate one room. You sell all the chametz and all the access to all the rooms of the house, except for one room. And one room, that's the room that you're not selling that. And that's the room you'll do a bedika the night before you leave.
Yeah.
As long as you know, and that's, how you get out of that. You do the bedika. You have to
sell
bedika.
The whole house.
You still have to do a bedika. You still have to do some kind of bedika.
Sell everything except for
because you want to do the mitzvah.
Yeah, you have to still have to search. Still have to search. If we're going to do that, we're going to do that every year. You're going to think there's no mitzvah to search anymore. You'll never.
Just
20 years later, you know, you have to check for chametz. What are you talking about? There's no such thing. There's no such mitzvah.
Yeah, but that's only for you going away. Most people don't go away.
Well, you know, people go away from Pesach. They do it every year. There's a whole clientele of people that go from every year a different hotel. That's there. You know, what do you do if you're like a single person? You don't got family. And what do? You go away for Pesach, right? That's the whole idea. So what happens if you're still single, you know, for 20 years? You're going away. You know, it's interesting. It's a certain kind of
mentality.
A certain type of people, however, who go to these Pesach hotels. Either extremely wealthy people who can afford to take their whole family, and they're chunking out 50, 60 grand every Pesach, and they got the money for it, and every year they don't want to do that. Or lonely people. Old widows, you know, people like that. What do they have, you know? Or older people who can't, you know, take care of themselves so well. So they got to learn. There's still a bedikas chametz to be done. Okay, perek shlishi keshaboy deik adam mechapis b'leil arbas or. So let's go to the actual bedikas chametz. When a person checks and looks for chametz on the night of the 14th, so what do you got to do? Motz says the chametz acharim. You got to take chametz out of the holes that are in the ground in your house. We mean chavos and in the corners and the cracks. I mean, it's obvious also different cracks and things like that. You look all around. Umakavet sakol. When you're finished, you gather all up. Put it in one place. Until the beginning of the sixth hour. That's the latest, as it were. Umavar, and then you burn it. What do you want to burn it at the night? What do you want to burn it on the night of the 14th? What if you're going away? You know, or very early in the morning, or you're going away that night. You're going out of town. You have a late night flight. Right? So then, Mevaro, you can burn it. Now, what's the Chiddush over there? So we'll see, there's a machlokes in the Tanoim. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of bir chometz? Is it only with burning, or it could be other things?
And can you flush it?
You know, whatever, you know, eating it, whatever, or things like that. And what's that depend on? So the opinion, it says you have to burn it. He learns it from Nosor of Kutchim. In other words, when you don't finish up a korban and it's past the time, you have to burn it. Yeah. Now, that's the only thing you can do. When something's Nosor, it's leftover korban, you can't flush it down the toilet. You can't do anything. You can only burn it. So he holds that's the same thing with chametz. But if that's the case, so when do you burn Nosor? Only at night. That's the only time you burn it. Yeah. That you don't burn it light. So forget it. You burn it the next day. Nosor means it's gone past the night. It's the next day. So Nosor is never burnt at night. So if that's the case, then chometz should never be burnt at night. That's what Rambam is saying. No, not like that opinion that you can burn it at night. Bait.
When we have Pesach Motzei Shabbos.
We're gonna get, not Motzei Shabbos, Friday. Yeah. Okay, he's gonna get to it. He's gonna talk about it. Ram's gonna talk about a few halachas about it.
Okay. Can you use the 1 in 60 rule? Like, let's say you have a sod floor.
No.
Let's say you lived in Poland and you only have sand floor. You know,
sawdust?
Didn't have a real floor, right?
You mean sawdust?
A dirt floor.
Yeah.
Dirt floor. So now your kids, everybody's eating over the floor. There's tons of chumats that's in the floor. Can you say that I have a preponderance of dirt more than chumats, and therefore I don't?
Well, before Pesach, it depends. But
there's what if you sweep it out,
Howard?
Whatever you see, you get rid of. Whatever you can't see, you can't get rid of. You don't have an obligation to dig up the dirt.
There's no 1 in 60 rule.
If you can't see it, can you see a piece of bread?
Piece of bread, no, but little pieces of crumbs you could see.
So those are mevatel.
So you nullified them.
Isn't it also if like a dog went to eat it, it's not chumats?
But he could eat it. It's just sand in the way.
It's a little crumb on the dirt floor.
You don't have to worry about crumbs anyway.
But there's no idea that, you know, the preponderance of...
It's just crumbs.
We talked about the crumbs from the mouse.
But those are big pieces. Not a little crumb.
Oh, no, it comes from the baby, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Mice don't leave crumbs.
Okay, Viter, base.
The baby.
Hechamei shemeniach b'leila b'asar k'dei sheyochol mimeno l'machar ad ha'barshos. Now, there is people who leave some chametz that night because they have to eat breakfast the next day. They want to eat something from that before the end of the fourth hour. So, or for that matter, any chametz you found in the bedikah. In other words, any chametz you still plan on hanging around to either burn the next day or to eat the next day. You have to be very careful, obviously. You just leave it hanging around. You know, have a piece of bread on the table, a piece of bread over there. No. You hide in a utensil. You cover it over in a bowl or something, or suspend in the air so the mouse can't get it, whatever. Or in a specific corner. Be very watchful and careful about it. Why? Because you're not careful, and you're going to find the next day the piece you put, it's missing. You have to do a whole new bedik again. Unless the mice did it again. Gimel. Here's your case. What are the 14th comes out the night of the 14th? Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos.
Right.
So when are you going to do the bedikas chametz? Breaking as chametz v'leili erev Pesach, erev Shabbos. You check the chametz the night before erev Shabbos means Thursday night of the 13th of Nisan. Shuleil shlosasor. That's the 13th of Nisan because you cannot check on the day of the 13th. Which is Friday, you can't do that, because you can't, we said, because I'm good in the daytime, and you can't do it at night already, Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos. So you do it the Thursday night, and you leave over the chametz, you're going to leave chametz for 2 days, for Friday and Shabbos, right? You leave it in a hidden place, but everything else, you burn it before Shabbos, on Friday morning. What happens if some chametz left after the fourth hour of Shabbos morning? You left a little lechem mishta, whatever, a little bread, and now it's still a little bit left over. What can you do with it? You've got a major problem on your hands. Why? What's the problem? Because from after the fourth hour, you cannot eat it on Erev Pesach, right? And even though the fifth hour it is mutter in Hanah, but since you're not allowed to eat it, it becomes muktzah. Remember, it's Shabbos. And therefore, you can't move it at all. You're stuck. Therefore, what do? You only can cover it with a utensil. Now, obviously, the better thing to do is flush it down the toilet before the end of the fourth hour. That's why you have to be careful with that. The koifel of kli, they didn't have toilets in those days, so they just... You nullify it, mevatlo, you nullify it, the kovel of kli, and put a utensil over it, ad matzah yontif until the end of the first night of yontif, umavaron, then you can burn it, because then you are allowed to burn things.
Second night, I guess.
Yeah. Second night of yontif, right.
Just a question. We learned a while ago that something has a status when it entered Shabbos. That was its status during Shabbos.
So it wasn't muksa when we
entered Shabbos.
But this is a unique situation.
It's a change in status.
Because status became changed by halacha.
Yeah.
But I'm saying...
You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice.
It's a special situation.
It's automatic.
It's a regular case.
I know it's not a regular case, but
that's why
it's no worse than if before Shabbos, you know, some wax got something on Shabbos, you can still make it muksa. Maybe not a bussies, but you could still become muksa. You don't... It's muksa. You can't touch it. If you can't touch it, if you can't have enough, it becomes muksa, automatic.
Why wouldn't you leave it?
It's a unique scenario. It's a unique case where the Torah makes it yours enough to get you in trouble. It's yours, but you have no use for it.
So let me ask you a question.
It's usher behind. You can't eat it. If you can't eat it, what do you do with it? You can't touch it.
I understand. You're not benefiting by flushing it, but you're saying it's muksa because you can't benefit from it, so you can't touch it.
Since you can't eat it, you could benefit from it, but you flush it before, then you're in trouble. You can't move it. It's muksa because you can't eat it. What is it? It's muksa now.
Very nice solution.
Can the neighbor's cat come and take it?
No, it's a benefit.
No, not your cat.
If he does it, you know.
I don't think
he can offer it to him.
Bring the neighbor's cat over.
Then you're getting a hanah, the neighbor's going to be happy with
you. Your wife's going to love that.
Okay.
Rabbi, why wouldn't you leave it covered till the end of Pesach? Why?
Because you want to get rid of it on Chol HaMoed.
But then you're touching it, you're dealing with...
That's okay, but you got to get rid of it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it.
But if it's covered, you don't see it.
I understand, but you got to get rid of it.
You know it's there.
Right. If it's muktzah, you can't do anything. So you get rid of it, you get rid of it. And so the earliest you can get rid of it is at that on
so
that day.
So on Chol HaMoed, you burn it?
Yeah.
It's muktzah. What do you do if you find a piece of chametz on the first day of Pesach?
Burn
what do you do?
It.
No.
What?
First day of Pesach.
Oh, first day you can't burn it.
You have to cover it.
Yeah. I'm saying the first day of Chol HaMoed, you get a chance after you did that. Now you burn it.
Can you flush it or not? It has to be burned.
Flushing would also whatever. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it.
That's what your toilet is.
Call the bonfire department.
Okay.
One more.
Rabbi, how's it different? Like we specify. We get when we sell our chumets to you. We say all the chumets in our house. We specify the chumets.
Yeah, but not the chumets you're planning on still eating. You weren't selling that.
You weren't selling.
So put it away before the fourth hour. Once it's the fourth hour, you can't touch it. You're finished. I don't care if you sold. You're only selling what's in the storage room.
So
right? You said where you're selling it.
Hour,
so just eat it early and put it away.
Yeah.
That's all.
I don't know how it's referring to. Not something you saved for eating, but you actually forgot and found.
Whatever, but still wasn't what you weren't selling that. You weren't selling that. You were not selling, you're selling what you know you're selling and not selling what you don't know you're selling.
Then if you don't, you said you ran into the whole controversy of what you
okay.
used to set up.
Now,
bread.
So where am I? Did I finish? Okay, now, Dalet. It's going to do one more, no? Hayaloki karas rabash shel truma. Oh, so now we have a problem here. You're not allowed to burn truma, you're not allowed to let truma that is tahor become tummy on purpose. There's a halacha. Forget about Pesach. You're not allowed to let tohor truma become tummy. Okay, that's a general rule. and we're going to apply it now because you're going to have to burn it all anyway. So you're going to figure, well, you know, it's coming right now. It's going to be Pesach, so I got to burn my truma. So I figure I don't have to be careful if my tohar truma touches my tummy truma. So we're just saying you got to be careful about it. It's a side point. Really doesn't have a lot to do with our halacha per se.
You don't have a lot of
but it has to do with truma. So I like Yaras Rabba Shel truma. If you have a lot of loaves of bread of truma, it's Rachel Sar for Erev Shabbos. We still, you got to burn an Erev Shabbos because that's, it's before Pesach and it's already coming up to Shabbos, right? So lo yarev hatorim tameya. You can't mix the tohar truma with the tummy truma thinking, well, I don't care anyway. If you serve, I'm going to burn it anyway. So what I can do is just throw it all in one pile, let the Torah and tummy touch. So it'll be Tommy, big deal, what do I care? No, the Torah says under no circumstances should you willingly let Truma become Tommy. Ela serve Tmei, Ela Atzma, burn, in other words, you might think, I'll make one big bonfire. No. You burn the tamei by itself, utahar lasa tahar by itself, utluya, and the one that you're not sure if it's tamei or tahar lasa by itself as well, umineach mina tahara, and you leave enough truma from the tahara kidei lechol at arba shos to eat until the fourth hour of Yom Shabbos Levad, and then you're okay with that.
Wow.
Okay, we'll stop over there, give you a chance to run and eat supper.